Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November the 1st through the 8th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale at cph.org and at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November the 1st through the 8th.
50 years of sustained and fruitful ecumenical dialogue between Catholics and Lutherans have helped us to overcome many differences. Wake up, Martin Luther.
Welcome to the future. A mighty fortress is our God. That's a marching down the aisle with the banners flying. Him.
Missouri Synod pastors who are fans of the World Champion Chicago Cubs love listening to Issues Etc.
You've all seen it done. It's just a little game that people sometimes play. It results in nonsense, usually just stream of consciousness, but it's word association. It's free association. One word leads to another. One thought leads to another. Sometimes, well, they used to do this as some sort of psychological evaluation. I don't know if they still do it. And it's still very popular in the Christian pulpit. Maybe not the pulpit, maybe just the dais there in the worship space in many evangelical churches. They don't even know what they're listening to is free association, but that's what it is. One word in the Bible kind of sparks another idea, and then before you know it, you're just kind of moving on along, and you've left the scriptures behind. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Here in the second hour of Friday, we're going to be talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough this week in Pop American Christianity. He's going to talk to us and brought some examples of twisting the Bible by using what he calls wordplay. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have our four soundbites laid out and ready to play for you. You'll hear them in their entirety, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet with your vote, @issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page. We have left space there for you to vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in advance, facebook.com/issuesetc. After we've tallied your votes, we will give away the LPR bundle package. That's an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about twisting the Bible by using what he calls wordplay. Chris is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We're going to be talking about what you're calling wordplay. Give us a simple working definition of what we're going to be hearing here that you call wordplay.
The idea of wordplay is not paying attention to what words mean in the context in which they appear in the Bible, which is a way of engaging in sound biblical exegesis. Instead, wordplay is a way in which you can take the definition of a word and kind of pour out the way it what it would mean in context and start pouring into it different meanings in order to be able to create the doctrines that you believe rather than the doctrines that are actually revealed in Scripture. So it's a sophisticated way of twisting God's word that is contrary to sound biblical exegesis.
We're going to be hearing a couple examples, but how common is this in the average evangelical church in America?
This is very common. In fact, I would say this is becoming more and more common as a means to, you know, basically scratch itching ears and twist the Bible in a way to make it appear like, well, what I'm teaching is biblical, because it's not like they're not using a biblical text. They are, but they're not actually paying attention to how words are used in a particular context and what those words mean when they appear. I'll give you an example, Todd. If you were to look up in the dictionary, go to dictionary.com and look up the word up. Well, there's all kinds of different definitions for the word up. We could talk about how I got up this morning, you know, from bed when my alarm went off. That's one meaning of the word up. Or you can say, I wasn't feeling well and I threw up. Well, up in that sense means something completely different than if I'm talking about waking up in the morning. And so the idea here is that words have meanings in a particular context, and we need to be very careful that we do not use a definition of a word that could potentially be a definition, but the context itself rules it out, because then what we're doing is we're twisting what God's word says. And I would point people to, like, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, where it talks about how Ezra the scribe took the book of the law. This is after the exiles had returned from Babylon, and literally read it out for the people to hear near the water gate. And we learn in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, that there were a group of men who were there, and it lists their names. We got like Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin. And here's what it says about them. It says that they helped the people understand the Torah while the people remained in their places. They read from the book and from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. So you have to understand that this is exactly what it means for, you know, what a pastor is supposed to do. When he is teaching a biblical text, part of the job of the pastor is a man who has actually studied sound biblical exegesis, knows hermeneutics, knows how to rightly handle God's word. His goal is to help people understand the correct meaning and the actual sense in which what the Bible says, so that people can come away rightly knowing what it means. Engaging in wordplay is a way of confusing what the sense of the text means in order to teach something that's different than what Scripture reveals.
The first example that you brought for us, who are we going to hear and what should we be listening for?
Okay, so what we're first going to do, we're going to listen to a gentleman by the name of John Cameron. He's from Arise Church in New Zealand. And the first soundbite is going to be him literally just reading out a portion of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to note that, you know, engaging in wordplay oftentimes begins with somebody reading out a text.
We're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 17. If you haven't got a Bible, then it will come up on the screen. But we are in week 2 today of a series that we're doing in our church entitled In Wonder. And let's read Ephesians 4, 17. So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, this is our verse for today. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, this is our text for next week, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's go back to verse 19 just one more time. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more.
Oh, so far so good, Chris?
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, this, number one, I would note it's rare in a seeker-driven church to actually have a passage of this length actually be considered for a sermon. Oftentimes, what they engage in is another form of Bible twisting called proof texting, where you just basically rip a bunch of sentences or verses out of context and string them together to make it look like they're teaching a particular doctrine. When you put any of them back in context, you can see that none of them are actually saying what the pastor says. But he's not doing that. He starts off, which is a good way of actually preaching, he begins with a text, and it looks like everything's going to be heading in the right direction. And we would note here, just by the reading out of this text, this is a passage that deals with what we Lutherans call the simile, how we as Christians, we are regenerate in Christ, that we have a new nature in Christ, and we still also have our sinful nature that's warring against what God would have us do. And so this is an admonition on the part of the Apostle Paul to put off, you know, the old self and put on the new. You know, this is what we're instructed as Christians in light of the gospel. So if he were to kind of build off of these themes that are clearly in this text, and we'll note here that just reading it in context, you pretty much have a good idea of what this text is about. But in the next soundbite, let's pay attention to what John Cameron does, because, you know, talking about the simile and putting off of the old self is not really a good seeker-friendly message. So he's got to find a different thing to do. And so he's going to key in on a particular word, play around with its meaning, and then just run with that meaning.
This series that we're doing is entitled In Wonder. And we are examining living our lives with a sense of wonder in who we are. Our kind of key phrase that unlocks the series, we talked about it last week, is in verse 18, where it says they have been separated from the life of God. The life of God. This word life in the original Greek language that the Bible was written in means to be possessed with vitality, to be filled with a sense of life and awe and wonder. When we're thinking about wonder and what God wants to bring, because that's what the scripture's saying, God wants to bring life to us, wants to bring wonder to us. We could use other words to describe wonder, like awe or magnificence or splendor, or as we pointed out last week, my favorite word, wow. It's such a great word, you can say it forwards or backwards, it doesn't matter. Wow. To live your life going, this is amazing, I'm so grateful, I'm thankful, this is a good life, I'm grateful to be living it, so thankful to be alive today. And we can also look at wonder by considering what it isn't. And wonder is certainly not bland, blasé, ordinary, in that sense of like lacking with vibrancy. Wonder is to have a life that is possessed with vitality. When I became a Christian, this was the initial impact that I noticed of finding Jesus that it had in my life. And that's why this series is so important. Because I became a follower of Jesus. I know there are hundreds of stories like this out there today. And if you've yet to be a follower of Jesus, listen real close. I found Christ. I found Jesus. I woke up the next morning. I looked out my bedroom window and it was like the day, the sky was bluer, the grass was greener. I was in an easterly facing room. The sun hit my body, but it seemed to also hit and just somehow pervade my soul with a feeling of wow.
What did he do there? That was a pretty interesting kind of, I would call it step-stoning, leapfrogging from one thing to another.
Yeah. What you'll notice, you know, he was keying in on the Greek word zoe. He didn't actually say what the word was. And I'm not even sure which lexicon he was using, but what he ended up doing is, this is a form of twisting called illegitimate totality transfer, where you take all of the potential definitions of a word and make it mean all of those definitions all at the same time. And so I'm not sure which lectionary he found, but he found a lectionary that somehow said that zoe has to do with vibrancy and with wonder. Now, let's just say that, okay, there is some some lexicon out there that maybe says that Zoe has one of its meanings, you know, vibrancy and wonder. The question is not whether that or not that's a legitimate possible definition in that case. The question is that what it means when it appears in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, when it talks about the Gentiles who are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God. And so what he ended up doing by using all of these potential definitions, he basically blurs what the meaning of the text, what the word is in the context it appears, and now he's able to kind of bunny trail, or you say stepstone, away from what the text is saying. So he's not actually helping anyone understand the true sense of what's going on here. He's using wordplay and all of these different definitions in order to move towards, you know, really the doctrine he wants to teach. But if you go back into the text and talking about the Gentiles, just take the word that he, the different synonyms that he came up with and plug them back in and see if it makes sense in context. Talking about the Gentiles being darkened in the futility of their minds and alienated from the, rather than use the word life, let's use one of his words. They're alienated from the wow of God, or from the wonder of God. When you put those words back into the text, now you see it doesn't fit, and that can't be the definition of Zoe in this context. And so that's always one of the ways you can spot wordplay going on, by going back and finding the word definition that they're keying in on and putting it back in the context to see if the text itself makes sense when you use that definition.
Now, Chris, that is such a simple thing to do. It basically, check the preacher's preaching against the word that he claims to be preaching and see if it stops making sense, or in some cases it's more subtle and it simply draws the meaning away from the plain and obvious sense of the word. In this case, it seems to quite radically change the words of St. Paul to the Ephesians, basically saying instead of these people are bound for hell because of the rebellion against God, it's kind of like, well, they're just missing out on the wow factor that God could bring to their already pretty decent lives.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. And by twisting God's word in this way, then what he's doing is he's undercutting the law in this text, which is designed to warn us against returning back to our sin and returning back to our idolatry and all these other things, because the Gentiles who are darkened in their understanding, they are literally on the road to hell. And this is a passage that has in it very strong law and admonition warning to us Christians. And so just consider then the impact that this is going to have then on evangelism. You know, somebody who's believing, you know, John Cameron is going to basically go up to somebody and say, you know what, buddy, you know, you're not a Christian. You're just missing out on the wow factor. Rather than saying, listen, dude, you're on your way to hell. You need to repent and be forgiven. You know, the wow factor is something like, somebody's going to say, yeah, I could take it or leave it. You know, I don't know. I've survived this long without the wow factor in my life. I mean, you know, if that's all that God has to offer me, why do I need that, you know? And so it starts again having a major impact then on how we present the faith to other people, just by a simple twisting that's going on here that, scratches itching ears rather than properly exegetes a biblical text.
One other thing before we hear the other examples. From this point on, he has abandoned the plain and simple meaning of this passage, and we're not going to come back there. It's not possible for him to come back and say, oh, and by the way, Paul also is concerned about sin, because he's so fundamentally misinterpreted from the get-go through this wordplay.
Yeah, no, there's, at this point, he's totally jumped the tracks, and, you know, and there's no way to put this train back on. And he was never, I don't think, based on, you know, jumping the tracks this early and as badly as he did, I don't think he was ever really concerned about rightly handling this text and teaching what the real sense of it is. No, he's all about, you know, meeting people's felt needs and having them have some kind of an experience that they come away with feeling good after the service, that was somehow a positive experience that they had. And they had one, I'm sure, but they didn't leave understanding what God's word really means.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. When we come back, we will hear two more examples of what he calls wordplay, twisting the Bible, from Bill Johnson. Stay tuned. Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldusa.org. worldusa.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
We represent the pastors who are fans of the World Champion Chicago Cubs. Love, Issues, etc.
The liturgical movement is about the piety of God's people. It is about where we encounter God, where we meet Him in His Son, Jesus Christ, where His gifts are bestowed upon us, where all of these things come together.
The Catholics, on the one hand, adopted some Lutheran or Reformation language about grace, but they had a warning for Roman Catholics. The way that we talk about it here isn't for you, it's for the Protestants.
When you hear one of our opposing attorneys saying that you can't characterize any part of the human body as male or female, that's not law, that's not reason, that's not logic.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have four soundbites to play for you. You will hear them, those little snippets, just examples. You'll hear them in their entirety, and then you'll give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, and vote. Or send your vote to us right here in the studio via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or via Twitter @IssuesETC, or go to the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and you can vote there as well for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. We're talking about twisting the Bible by using what he's calling wordplay. What's next by way of example of that, Chris?
Next up, we're going to listen to two sound bites. We'll start with one. And this is the person who I consider to be the king, the master of the wordplay people out there. His name is Bill Johnson, and he is the pastor of Bethel Church in Redding, California. He is one of the major leaders within the Charismatic Church. And he, you know, the late C. Peter Wagner literally said of Bill Johnson that Bill Johnson is one of the living apostles on the earth. And that's a direct quote from Todd Bentley's installation service. So what we're going to be listening to from Bill Johnson is a form of wordplay, and, you know, talk about stepping stones. He's never going to actually open up a biblical text. What he's going to do is sort of reference different biblical texts, string them together, but constantly while doing this, playing with the definitions, so that at the end of this, it's really difficult to know what it is that he's talking about. And it, you know, the people there will, by the reaction, it'll sound like they think that what he's saying is profound, but I'm not even sure if he ends up even saying anything lucid at the end of the sound bite.
It says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates." In Isaiah 60, gates, were praise. In Revelation, the gates were made out of pearls. Pearls are formed through irritation. The gates of praise are formed in our life when we go against circumstances and glorify Jesus anyway. Something is shaped in us. So here's this unusual picture. It says, lift up your heads. The lifting of the head has everything in the world to do with our countenance. The Bible says he's the glory and the lifter of our head. Lifting of the head is not to give us some kind of a psychological edge. Lifting of the head changes what we see. Jesus wanted his disciples to see the harvest fields. And so he told them, lift up your eyes and see. The fields are white under harvest. Lift up. Look up before you look down and you'll see things differently. There's something about changing the countenance, lifting our heads, lifting it's a look of anticipation where we set our eyes on the Lord, and there's something about setting the eyes of our heart on heavenly things, in attitude, in countenance, in conduct. So here's this unusual passage. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and the King of Glory will come in. The word gate, this subject of gate, I should say, in the Psalms, God says, the gates of Zion are his eternal dwelling place. He lives in a gate. That makes no sense unless you see gate as praise, and he inhabits the praises of his people. Do you see the connections here? So this invitation is like this. Lift up your countenance before you get the answer you need. You're not lifting your countenance because you got the breakthrough. You're lifting your countenance and you're giving him thanks and praise. In spite of circumstances, you're willing to let the gate be formed in you that says, I will praise him continuously regardless of circumstances. And so we lift up the countenance as a lifestyle of anticipation of grace. And in that place, we give him praise. And what does it say? That is the gate that he comes through.
Chris, Jimmy Fallon, late night talk show host, one of his writers does a bit occasionally. It's really funny.
Uh-huh.
He plays a guy called Mets Bucket Hat Guy. He sits
in the audience. That's right.
And he does this free association of words where he says, oh, I see what you're saying, Jimmy. And he just goes from one word to another back and forth. Hilarious bit. It's not so hilarious when I hear this guy doing it.
No, in fact, you're not the first person to make that association, but you're absolutely right. I mean, this is, for lack of a better way of putting it, this is Mets Bucket Hat Guy exegesis, if you can even call it that. I mean, at the end of the day, you can't even diagram these sentences because what he's saying isn't actually making any lucid sense at all. It sounds profound because he's just playing off of these free associations of these different words, but twisting their meaning and stringing them together in such a way that he makes it sound like he really understands what he's talking about. But there's no way to get what he's talking about because what he's talking about is not actually revealed in the Word of God. If it were, we'd all be able to understand it. I think a good way to think about this is that we need to get back to this idea of what's called the perspicuity of Scripture. That is it's actually understandable. And I would argue, based upon the fact that the Scriptures themselves call for the Torah, the written Old Testament, to be read in the presence of people that and to be understood even by like young teenagers, that it's written on a level that even an older child can actually understand it. But what he's saying, I've never heard anybody talk this way. I've never heard any of the church fathers convey this doctrine. It's not even apostolic because the apostles don't talk this way. The first person to talk in these ways was Bill Johnson, which means that this is totally new and it's not Catholic in the real sense of the word that we as Christians are to embrace, and it's not apostolic. This is just gobbledygook. It's Met Bucket Hat Guy.
One more example?
Yeah, one more example of Bill Johnson doing the same thing.
And I want to start by inviting you to consider things that are not easy to consider. Not easy because they're so big. Oftentimes the Bible will come upon a truth and the Lord will unveil something in Scripture. And honestly, quite frankly, because it is so large, it's easier to read through it quickly and go on to something that is more reasonable for us. And there is a number of things throughout the Scripture that are like that. They're just so extremely large that they're easier to treat light in a lighthearted way and move on to something else. That's what this subject is about. Jesus stood before his disciples, before Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he made this statement. He said, "No one has ascended to heaven except he that descended." Now, this is before his death, before his resurrection. So he was describing here a lifestyle of intimacy with the Father, where even though he was standing on earth, he had ascended into heavenly realms in his relationship with God. The point being, that is an invitation for every believer.
Okay, what happened there?
Well, consider the implications of this. As confessional Lutherans, we observe the Feast of the Ascension, if you would. And when we talk about Christ's ascension into heaven, and the creeds talk about that, it's not talking about some lifestyle of intimacy that Jesus experienced and that we are being somehow invited into that same experience of intimacy. He's basically poured out the real meaning of what it means to ascend there and descend, and with no regard even to the context of what Jesus is talking about here. But again, it's a form of wordplay where he's poured out the meaning in context, poured in his own meaning, and then made a cross reference to somehow turn this into something that it just isn't. And he's teaching a doctrine that's not even revealed there. And the implications really are fascinating, because when you consider then what he's saying from a point of view of sound Christology, that somehow Christ ascended prior to his ascension, now we're starting to get into territory that crosses the line from maybe Bible twisting into full-blown potential heresy.
I want to emphasize this at the end here, and you got about a minute, Chris, that as common as this stuff is, eventually people lose the ability, when they listen to this long enough, to recognize sound biblical interpretation, to listen to it. They come to expect this is what biblical interpretation preaching is supposed to sound like, and when it doesn't sound like it, they just shut their ears.
It's actually worse than just shutting their ears. They actually attack and are very hostile to the preacher who engages in sound biblical exegesis. If this is, this is what they become accustomed to, well, when a pastor comes along and he's just using good hermeneutics and proclaiming Christ and him crucified, using proper law and gospel, and is showing what the words mean in the right sense, in the right context, that's going to end up, by its nature, conflicting with the doctrines that they were taught using these biblical twistings, and they're going to think that the guy teaching them the truth is actually teaching them error, and they will go on the warpath against that pastor and try to have him removed. I mean, that's how bad it really gets as a result of this kind of twisting.
Chris, before we let you go, tell us about tonight's Fighting for the Faith.
Well, tonight I'm actually doing a lecture on the two kingdoms and the impact of liberalism on Christianity here in Grand Forks at a Reformation event. So we'll be playing a best of program while I'm lecturing in Grand Forks.
You can listen to the best of Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com. piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, as always, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play the sound bites. Then you vote, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesztc.org, our Twitter address at issuesztc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, Visit cui.edu/theology.
Peace Evangelical Lutheran Church of Chehalis, Washington. Biblical, historic Christianity, whose source is Scripture, whose heart is the gospel. If you're in Southwest Washington, join us for the divine service. You will receive Jesus, crucified and risen again for the forgiveness of your sins. We promise. For more information, call us at 360-748-4108.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.